The Indonesian president yesterday called for the accelerated release of underage people smugglers detained in Australia. President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono says Indonesia is also a victim of international people smuggling rings. There are an estimated 80 Indonesian crew members of all ages currently in Australian detention centres. The president says 54 of these people are minors, though the federal government disputes that figure. Lawyers representing alleged people smugglers say the repatriation process needs to speed up, not just for minors, but even for those over 18. Saul Holt is with Victorian Legal Aid. He's represented dozens of alleged people smugglers. Saul, good morning. Welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. Thanks for having me.
The Indonesian president yesterday called on the federal government to accelerate the release of alleged underage people smugglers, but he also welcomed Australia's efforts so far to repatriate juvenile detainees. What's your response? Is the Australian government doing enough in this area?
Look, the Australian government's made terrific progress in the last few months in terms of getting minors back to Indonesia, but for many of these minors, of course, they've already spent months and months, if not years, in Australian prison. So in many ways, it's too late for them, but the progress that's been made is really positive.
You've been representing a number of these people. I think all the underage clients that you've been representing, they've been returned home so far?
Yes, they have. Look, we've successfully managed to intervene early for eight Indonesian children, all of whom have now been sent home, which is a terrific result. But obviously there are still many others who claim to be minors who have already been convicted and are serving long sentences of imprisonment, and it's critical that they get sent home as well.
And the ones you describe as the eight Indonesian children, how old were they?
They were aged between 15 was the youngest that we had, up to 17 years of age, all within that age bracket.
And what were they doing on the boats?
They were doing, in fact, what the adults, who are often forgotten in this debate, were also doing. The standard story that we see is that very poor Indonesian fishermen from the Indonesian archipelago, from very poor villages, get recruited by the real people smugglers. They get tricked to go onto boats for what are very small sums of money for us. They get told they're taking cargo or they're taking people only to another Indonesian island. And then when it's far too late, because they're in the middle of the ocean, they get transferred onto an asylum seeker boat and they get sent south towards Australia. They're as much victims of the people smuggling trade as the asylum seekers themselves and as the Australian community.
So just to explain that a bit more, they get paid, say, $100 or something to go on this boat trip to take some boat somewhere, and then we're out in the middle of the ocean, they get forced to go onto an asylum seeker boat, a boat carrying asylum seekers?
We see a lot of different scenarios, but one of the commonly recurring ones is what we call Team A and Team B, which is where our clients, the Indonesian fishermen, end up on one boat, which doesn't have asylum seekers on it, and then an exchange is done in the middle of the ocean, and they are told to go onto the other boat. You know, there's a very strong hierarchical culture in Indonesia, and they do what they're told, and they're told to sail south, and that's what they do. But they are in no sense people smugglers or organisers. They are people who are crewing boats, which is what they do for a living, and they're told to do it. And they come to Australia and they face mandatory 5 years imprisonment.
The Australian government has, as you've mentioned, has already released a number of these underage boat crew, but Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono said yesterday he thinks there are still 54 underage Indonesians in Australian jails. Do you know if that figure's correct?
No, look, we don't. One of the problems is getting good information from across the country, because these cases are now in pretty much in every state and territory. But what we do know is that a lot of the people who get recruited are underage, or say that they're underage, and the records from Indonesia are very hard to get hold of. So it's perfectly common in Indonesia for kids aged as young as 12 or 13 to be crewing boats, and the people smugglers aren't discriminate about who they choose. They don't ask for papers. So we don't know what the number is, but we do know from our experience that a significant proportion of the crew on these boats are underage.
And as you say, one of the problems at your end is the length of time people are spending in our jails. Young people particularly, of the ones you've represented, what's the longest time someone spent in prison before their case was dealt with?
Well, look, it's probably good to give you some averages of our clients overall. 7 months is the average period of time that they spend in jail even before being charged, and then the average time in jail before their cases get resolved in any way is 2 years.
When their case is before the court and it is heard, are most of them being found guilty, and what happens to them, or are many of them being acquitted?
No, look, a significant proportion are being found not guilty, because what we find is that when Australian jurors hear the real stories behind how these people get onto boats, they realise that they haven't committed a crime at all. So, in fact, often these people, whether they're children or adults are spending an awfully long time in custody, 2 years away from home, only to be acquitted and then sent home again to carry on with their lives as best they can.
Now that the Australian government has agreed and is fast-tracking the sending of the underage boat crew members home, are the people smugglers, have you seen any evidence people smugglers are targeting young boat members?
No, look, that suggests that there's far more sophistication than there is to the way in which they choose the people. From their perspective, they only need to get someone on the boat to crew it, and they don't care what happens to them at the other end, whether they come home or whether they, whether they drown with boats that drown off Christmas Island, that go down off Christmas Island, because, of course, our clients die in the same way that asylum seekers do when these boats go down. So they simply don't care. They want to have people crewing the boats, and they're the dupes who end up being prosecuted in Australia.
And just briefly, there is some talk now that some of those who have been acquitted or sent home without even being tried are owed compensation. Is compensation a live issue here?
Well, look, we're concerned about getting these people who are in detention home again. But if you think about it, many of these people have spent significant times in custody, often without even being charged. And I would expect that the issue of compensation will become live.
Saul Holt, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for your time, Frank.
Saul Holt is a lawyer with Victorian Legal Aid and represents a number of the people who have been and some still currently held in Australian jails, a boat crew charged with people smuggling offences.